Well, I had an interesting time preparing for my sermon. I've known for quite some time that I'm going to be speaking, and so I've been kind of thinking about it and praying about it and spending lots of time in the Word. And I came in yesterday, about 10:30, 11, right, Candace, that I got at the church. And Candace, you know, she likes to get updates on how it's going, right? So she'll text me every once in a while, how's it going, Cam? You know, I had to push through for this one. I texted her at 9:30 and I said, well, I have a title. This is 9:30 in the evening. I got a title and I have a verse. You know, and it was in my spirit, but I just had to work and persevere and see it come out. And you know what? It wasn't an hour. It was just over an hour later that I texted, like, done, got it. You know, and of course I had to type it out then because it was handwritten. But it's just neat how, you know, the Lord's faithful, right? And so I'm excited to be sharing with you guys this morning. I've got a lot of scriptures, so you need to be on your toes. They're going to be on the screen, but it's going to keep Candace on her toes to keep the verses coming in. So follow along in your Bible if you have one. That's great, but also the scriptures will be on the screen as well. I like what Fallon relayed, one of Brother Hagin's sayings from quite some time ago, that if, you know, if you want to be accurate, just stay faithful to the Word, right? Preach the Word, and the closer you stay to the Word, you're more accurate that you'll be. So that's what we're doing today, is we're preaching the Word, and we're staying faithful to what God's words tell us about our lives. Amen? Let's just pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence here today. Lord, we thank you that you're with us. Lord, we declare as we look at your word today, Lord, that our minds are open to receive from you, Lord. Our hearts are open to receive from you, Jesus. We declare that your word goes deep down into our spirit, Lord. It takes root, Lord. We declare that our spirit is good ground, is good soil for your word to take root, Lord. We come against any distraction right now, Lord, that would try and steal the word. Any device of Satan, we call it vanquished right now. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Nothing will steal the word. But it'll go deep, and it'll take root, and it'll bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been reading the book of John in my daily time with the Lord for the last couple weeks. I really felt to spend a significant amount of time in John when we were at the Believers Convention in Texas just over a month ago. And so that's what I've been doing, and it's been awesome. The book of John is just, I mean, the whole Bible is awesome, but the book of John is just so rich, and there's so much there that John the Apostle has for us, just revealing Jesus and revealing Jesus as the Son of God and his relationship with the Father and relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's just so awesome. And the one passage of Scripture that I've spent a significant amount of time on is when Jesus was talking to his disciples in the upper room. We know the story of the Last Supper. And basically what was happened was Jesus had took his disciples aside, and it was actually a day before Passover, and they decided to celebrate Passover day early. And he said, find a room, find a place where we can share a meal together. And he gave them some instructions on doing that. And so they did that, and they shared a meal together. And then they just spent some time. They just hung out as friends. They were dear brothers. They were dear friends. And so we don't know how long, but it's quite likely a period of some hours, they just spent time together. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't tell us a whole lot about what happened there. It talks about, you know, Jesus talks about being a servant. He's letting them know that he's not going to be with them very much longer at all. Of course, each of the Gospels talks about the fact that they shared communion together, and that's our model for sharing communion with each other. And then Jesus talks about Judas betraying him. But the book of John, from chapter 13 to chapter 17, just has amazing teaching that it was basically Jesus' last will and testament. It was the last things that he wanted to share with his disciples. He knew that his time was come. It starts off by saying that he knew that it was time for him to go to the cross and do what he needed to do, what the Father had called him to do. And so we want to pay lots of attention to what's in those verses, right? Because it's basically, Jesus has spent 3 years with these guys, but now he knows he's just down to a matter of hours. And so he says, he's wanting to say things that have eternal impact, right? He's basically, guys, if there's anything I want you to remember, this is it. That's kind of the frame of mind that he's speaking with. And he's wanting to lead them with things that's going to have eternal impact in their lives. So let's pick up reading in John chapter 14. Actually, Fallon read a lot of these verses when she spoke a couple weeks ago. We're going to be in John 14. I'm going to read from verses 16 to 17. So Jesus is now talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talked about believing in Him and doing great works in His name. And in verse 14, He's saying, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. And then in verse 16, He says, I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know Him, does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. You know, Jesus had been with the disciples for 3 years. They spent lots of time together. And He was teaching them. He was instructing them in the Word. For that time, that period of time, He was basically their helper. But He knew that He was going away, and He knew that they needed another helper. They needed someone else to be with them. And so He's saying, guys, I'm not going to be here, but I'm going to ask the Heavenly Father to send you a helper. Other translations use the word advocate, someone to that has your best interests in mind. And it also talks about the helper being the Spirit of truth. Someone that you can rely on to walk with you the way I've walked with you over the past 3 years. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, He didn't speak His own words, did He? Whose words did He speak? He spoke God's words from the Father, right? John 14 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on My own initiative, but the Father abiding in Me does His works. There's so many scriptures like this where Jesus is saying, the words that I'm saying while I'm with you, while I'm teaching you, they're not My words. They're the Father's words. John 14, 24, the last part of that verse says, the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. Earlier back in the book of John, this is John 7, 15 and 16, the Jews were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated? And Jesus answered them and said, My teaching is not Mine, but His who sent Me. You know, even John the Baptist, when he was talking about Jesus, prophesied that this would happen. And when Jesus is on the earth, He'd be listening to the Father. He'd be speaking what the Father is saying. Let's read John 3, 32 to 35. This is in the New Living Translation. John's talking about Jesus. He says, He testifies about what He's seen and heard, but how few believe what He tells them. Anyone who accepts His testimony can affirm that God is true, for He's sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives Him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves His Son and has put everything into His hands. So for years, Jesus has been with His disciples. He's showing them what God the Father has been showing Him, and He's been speaking what God the Father has been speaking to Him. And now Jesus is saying, because He's leaving the earth, He's going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to do the same thing. Amen? John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and will bring to remembrance all that I said to you. So it's the Holy Spirit now that does the teaching. Jesus is not with us. He's not here on the earth right now. Through the Holy Spirit, He's inside of us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's still teaching us and instructing us. But it just happens a little bit different way. So has the Holy Spirit come as promised? You bet He has. Here's right before Jesus went to be with the Father. Here's what He said in Luke 24, 49. And now I will send to you the Holy Spirit, just as My Father promised. So in John, He said, I will ask the Father, and now He's saying the Father has promised. Stay here in the city till the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And we know that's exactly what happened, right? The disciples and the other believers that were with Him, they stayed in Jerusalem, they stayed in the city, and they were in that upper room. And they had they experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we call that Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit had been present on the earth since creation. And He would come upon people, but He would never dwell inside of them permanently. But that changed at the cross. And when the Holy Spirit came, now we can experience that. Every believer can experience the Holy Spirit on the inside. And we can experience that same infilling and that same outpouring. I want to bring John, I'm going to skip ahead a couple chapters of John 16. Verses 13 and 15. How many of you guys get Kenneth Copeland's partner newsletters? A few of you get those. Mine popped up in my email inbox this week, and man, it was awesome. It blessed me to read it because it was just so much of the same things that God's been speaking to me, and of course God's been speaking those things to Brother Copeland, and he's been sharing them all this year, and we received so much of it at conference, and so that's probably why God's continued to speak it to me, right? Because just a continuation on of what I heard, and it's been why I've been spending time in the book of John. But he started off his partner letter for the month of August with this selection of verses, John 16:13-15. So I'm going to read that for you guys. We're going to start the New American Standard, and then we'll read it in another translation. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears. What does that sound like? Does that sound like Jesus? Jesus is not speaking on his own initiative. He's speaking what the Father hears. And now Jesus is saying when the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to guide you into all truth, and he's not going to speak on his own initiative, but he's going to speak what he hears. He will speak what he hears, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Those are awesome verses. In the New Living, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he's heard. He'll tell you about the future. He will bring glory to me by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So now the Holy Spirit is telling us everything that the Father is speaking. That's why it's called the Spirit of truth. God is truth, and the Spirit of truth is guiding us into all truth. Just as Jesus did when he was on the earth. He listened to the Father. He spoke what the Father was saying. And now the Holy Spirit is doing that. You know, have you ever had the thought, man, just go back in time and be with Jesus as he walked this earth and see what he did and just spend time with him. I know I've had that thought. And it would be kind of cool. I admit it. It would be really neat. Do you know that walking with the Holy Spirit is even better than that? And Jesus said it himself, it's better to have the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus was on this earth, he was fully God and fully man. But what that meant was that he was limited in his earthly body, right? He couldn't be in Jerusalem and Moscow at the same time, right? He couldn't be talking to someone in one part of the world and talking to someone in another part of the world at the same time. He had the limitations of his earthly body. The Holy Spirit doesn't have that. Amen. He's a supernatural being. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And if you're a believer, he's inside of you. Man, that's an amazing thing, because we all have access then to what the Father is saying. Here's Jesus saying, it's better that you have the Holy Spirit. John 16:7. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I will go, I will send him to you. So think about this. Having the Holy Spirit inside us is better than having Jesus beside us. Isn't that an interesting thought? Having the Holy Spirit dwell inside us is better than having Jesus beside us. Because when the Holy Spirit's in us, dwelling in us, who's also inside us? Jesus and God the Father, right? They are one together in the Trinity. And so instead of, now that we have the Holy Spirit, we don't have Jesus beside us. He's inside of us. Amen? Through our Helper, the Holy Spirit, we hear the Father speaking just as Jesus did. The Father guided Jesus into all truth, and now the Holy Spirit does that for us as well. Let's go to the book of 1 John. I have a bookmark there because the little Johns are always hard to find in my Bible. 1 John 2:27. So this is a different John than the John that wrote the scriptures we've been reading so far. But he's basically saying the same thing, right? Because he's heard Jesus speaking while Jesus was on the earth. And this John also listened to the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying the same thing in some slightly different words. He says, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. Now, this we're talking after the cross, right? When John the Apostle, Big John, was speaking, he's saying, I will ask the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit. Now, little John is talking, he's saying, as for you, the anointing which you received, that's past tense, right? We're talking post-Pentecost, we're talking after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The anointing which you received, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of truth. It abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you about all things, what is true and what is not a lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13 says, this is Paul now, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit. Again, past tense. We've received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God's freely given us. Doesn't that sound really similar to what we're reading in John 16, 13, and 15? When the Spirit of truth reveals all things to you, everything that the Father has is yours. Well, Paul's saying the same thing. He's saying, we have the Spirit, and we can know the wonderful things God's freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Okay, so they're not human words. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. And where do those words come from? That's the Father speaking to us. It's the Spirit repeating what the Father is saying. And if we're listening to the Spirit, we know what the Father is saying. And why are they spiritual words? Well, because they come from a spiritual being. They come from the Creator of the universe. He's speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. So let's read that again, John 16, 13 and 15. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. I want to emphasize verse 15. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said, He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. Those verses are so full of promise. All that the Father has, the Holy Spirit will disclose to us. Let's look at that word disclose really quickly. Disclose means to make known, reveal, or uncover. Those are probably more common words. I know I don't use the word disclose too much in my everyday vocabulary. My boss is a lawyer, so he might use it a little bit more often. But to make known, or to know something, to reveal it or have it uncovered, to cause it to appear, to allow it to be seen, lay open to view. Cause it to appear, allow to be seen, lay open to view. That's what the word disclose means. So all things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said, He takes a Mine and He reveals it to us. He causes them to appear to us. He allows them to be seen by us. You know, that can seem hard to comprehend. It almost, you look at that and you think, man, That takes some doing to try and wrap my head around that. That's an amazing promise, right? Why is that? It's because it happens by faith. It's not something that happens through it. It's not a natural process. It's not a stretching of the mind. It's not a leap of the intellect that we acquire those things, that we experience the reality of that. It's something that happens by faith. Amen? You know, every child of God has access to everything that the Almighty God has promised through the Holy Spirit. James 1, 5-7. This is talking about wisdom now. So we've been talking about everything that the Father has. I want to specifically talk about wisdom for just a couple minutes here. James 1, 5-7. This is a very familiar verse to us. We've read this one, talked about it lots in our church. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. Again, we're reading about everything that God has being made available to us. So if we lack wisdom, let's ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. That means not reluctantly, not like, I guess you can have it. It's not like that at all. And it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord. You know, if we look at this verse, And we're looking through the lens of John 16, 13 to 15. It's really clear that it's God's will for us to have the wisdom of God. James 1, 5 said it's for all of us and as generously. It's not just a little bit. So if this is true, why are so many people confused about things? You know, I was one of the things that happens to me when I'm in my office is I get distracted. And I'm learning to try and stay away from the computer as much as possible, because, you know, even if you're doing research from a sermon, you can type in a verse and you'll get, in Google, you get like someone talking about that verse and you get this interpretation, that interpretation. Man, people are confused. There are some people that you think something's as plain as day, and you would think, man, this is really clear, it's black, it's white, and they're saying it's black, and what's black is white, and they're back and forth. There are some people that are just, they take the word of God and spiritual truths, and they just try and figure it out themselves. And they're not balancing the word of God against each other. They're not taking the whole counsel of Scripture. They're not looking at it in context. They're not believing what it says. They're filtering it through, you know, their personal experience or whatever. And it's just, it results in some really, really crazy beliefs. Just really odd things. And I don't want to go into specific examples, but there are parts of the body of Christ that are making radical changes right now to what they believe, right? You guys probably know what I'm talking about, but there are things that the world is saying, you know, this should be true. It should be this way. And there are Christians that are, and there are Christian denominations, and there are people of influence in the body of Christ that are confused, and they're not sticking with what the Word of God says, but they're changing their positions on saying, oh, okay, it must be that way. And they're basically bowing to the pressure of the world, right? That's what it means to be tossed and driven by the wind. 1 John 2:27-28. This is talking about us again. We are not like that. As for you, the anointing which you received abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you about all things, which is true and not a lie, just as it's taught you, and you abide in him. We've already read that verse. Now let's read verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. You know, the only way to stay in faith and not be confused about issues, whatever the issues of our day are, is to abide in Christ. Amen? If we're not abiding in Christ, if we're abiding in the National with Peter Mansbridge, or if we're abiding in, you know, whatever our favorite TV show happens to be at the time, we're going to be confused about things, right? If we're listening to all these different voices, we're going to be confused. You know, abide is another one of those terms that I know I don't use very much in my everyday vocabulary. You probably don't either. I've never heard Steve say, honey, come abide with me. But abide means just to spend time with, to live with, right? To hang around. I looked it up. Like, what does the word abide mean? Just to be close with, to remain with, to hang out. And Jesus is saying, abide with me, spend time with me, hang out with me. And that's how you stay in faith and not have doubt in your life. John 15, the chapter before the one we've been looking at, talks about abiding in Christ. I'm going to go back there. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and as it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, those verses are pretty clear. If you want to bear fruit in your life, if you want good things to be coming out in your life, you need to stay in Jesus. You need to abide with him. You need to spend time with him. You need to stick close around him, have him stick close around you, or remain with him. Man, God's been challenging me in this area of just spending more time with him. You know, and it's made a difference in my life. It's made a difference for my family too, because I'm going to bed a half an hour earlier because I'm getting up at half an hour earlier in the morning. But man, it's been awesome. I'm spending more time in God's word, abiding with him, and I'm starting to see positive fruit in my life. And that's an exciting thing. If we're not doing that, you know, if the only time we're in God's word is when you're in church on Sunday, you're not abiding. You're not. If your favorite thing to do when you come home after you eat and work a full day of work is to I don't know, sit down and watch Sons of Anarchy, you're not abiding. Whatever your thing is, you've got to spend time in God's word. Put him first in your life. Put him in the very first place of your life. Prioritize him above all else, right? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking what the Father is speaking. He wants to speak to you, but it's not going to change your life unless you're hearing it and not just being a hearer, but a doer. I know that's challenging, but I've been challenged, and so I want to pass that on. You know, when the Bible talks about bearing fruit, that's in verse 5, it says, when we abide in Christ, we bear much fruit. We're apart from God, we can't do anything. You know, part of that fruit, let me back up. The fruit is the consequences of our actions, whether it's good or bad. We can have bad fruit and good fruit, right? I've had some bad fruit in my life. I've done some things that weren't at all what pleased the Lord. And you know what? There can be consequences of that. So there can be good and bad fruit. What is the fruit of abiding with Christ? Let's look at that. Let's read James 3, 17 to 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. What is unwavering? Does that remind you of the scripture in James? Without doubt, right? If you're not believing this one day, believing something else the next day, that's unwavering. And without hypocrisy, that's the result of walking in faith. Here's another scripture that Paul talks about this very thing in Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God. What is righteousness? We know righteousness is simply right standing with God, right? Is righteousness something we can achieve on our own? Can you work harder to get more righteous? Can't. Can you work harder to get less righteous? No. It's right standing. It's got nothing to do with you. It's what happened on the cross that makes you righteous, right? So righteousness is your right standing with God, and it's God seeing you through the blood. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and Terry Foy, Jerry Savelle's daughter, was saying, righteousness, that's God seeing you through the lens of his blood, right? It means the sin problem's been dealt with. Godfather then sees us the same way he sees his son Jesus, without sin and unable to be blamed by anyone. So the fruit of abiding in God is the fruit of righteousness. And what's the fruit of being right with God? Well, it's everything that we're talking about in John 16, 13 and 15. The fruit of abiding in God, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of right standing with God is everything that the Father has. Everything that the Father has for us is there because of righteousness. And that's what we have access to when we abide in him. Amen? So what are you believing for in your life right now? That's my question. Are you believing for wisdom like we've talked about? Are you believing for guidance in your life? Finances, provision, healing, school supplies and clothes for the kids? We're believing for those. It's a month away. What is a thing in your life that you're believing for? Everything the Father has belongs to Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit we have access to those same things. We have access to everything the Father has. Here's Peter's take on it. We've looked at Big John and Little John and Paul, and now we're going to look at Peter because he's on the ball as well. He knows about this. 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. What does that sound like? Does that sound like everything you need? Doug talked about that today in an offering message, right? The reason that we teach these things, the reason that we preach these principles is because we're looking for you guys to be winners. We're looking for each one of us to be winners, to have everything evident, everything revealed and made known in our lives that pertains to life and godliness. So that's all those things that we talked about. That means healthy relationships, right? That means our bills paid and abundance left over to bless others. That means mental and physical health. It means protection from devices and harm that the devil would try and throw our way. Do you believe that? Heard some amens, that's good. You know, if you believe that, if what I'm saying resonates with you, make a choice right now to change the way you speak about these things, right? This is something that Candace and I are still working on, and you know, we're working on with our kids too. We're playing, Kylie's not here, I'll share this, but you know, we're playing board games with the kids. And their talk is real good till they get behind a few points. And suddenly it brings it out a different side. You know, it's like, oh, I'm never good at board games, or there's no way I'm going to win. And, you know, they can start to, you know, and of course we would call that bad sportsmanship, right? But it's funny how the same thing happens to us in life, right? The chips get down, vehicle breaks down, unexpected bills come in. We get sick and miss a couple days of work, and you know the paycheck's going to be less. Suddenly the way we change starts to speak, right? But if we believe this, if we really truly believe that everything that the Father has We have access through the Spirit of Truth, through the Helper, through the Holy Spirit. It's going to change the way we speak, amen? We're not going to say, I just don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do about that. You'll never say that again, right? You'll work hard to never say that again. You won't say, I don't have enough to go around. I just can't seem to make ends meet. Here's a new one that I'm working on. You know, sometimes I say, I just can't, be talking about something that I just can't imagine how that's possible. I just can't. Stop saying you can't imagine. You have the mind of Christ, right? If you have the mind of Christ and you have access to everything he has, absolutely you can imagine. He's a big God. Dream big. Imagine. He's got, what does the Bible say? He's got more for you than you can imagine. So don't ever say that you can't imagine, because you can imagine through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Purpose right now to live every day abiding in Christ. He gives wisdom generously. We read that in James 1:5, right? He gives wisdom generously to those who ask, and he gives you all the fruits of righteousness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is yours. Let's look at Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. You know, everything when that previous scripture that we looked at, which talks about how the Lord gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Pertains to life, we talked about that. Pertains to godliness, what is that talking about? Pertaining to godliness is he's giving us everything we need, every tool and every resource that we need to live in a way that pleases God. Amen? And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in Philippians 2:13. God's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The power to do what pleases him is exactly the same thing as everything that pertains to life and godliness. So for every situation, you know, instead of having some of those phrases that we talked about that are, well, they're doubting phrases. They really are when we say, you know, I just don't have time for that. I'm sick and tired. I can't imagine. I just can't see how that's possible. Don't say those things. Instead, take hold of the promises of the Word of God and say, what does God's Word say about this situation, right? Because I guarantee you, it says something about your situation. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You think God the Father has something to say about your situation? He does, and he's always speaking it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's always repeating it. So if we're hearing the Holy Spirit, we'll know what he's saying about that situation. He'll speak things to us in our mind, and he'll speak through his word as well. To take hold of the promises of God, they are yours for the taking. Let's look at, we already read 2 Peter 1, verses 3. I'm going to read that again, but read verse 4 as well, too. We didn't get quite that far last time. Starting at verse 3 again. By his divine power, God's given us everything we need for godly life. This is a new translation. This is the New Living Translation. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You know, God's promises, that's such an awesome verse, by the way, right? That enables us to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You know, God's promises allow us to share all that the Father has. We've been talking about that the whole time. Well, the divine nature of God is all that the Father has, right? What is the world's corruption? That's the effects of sin, right? We live in a broken world. We live in a world that truly is broken and hurting, right? We don't have to live that way. That's what this verse is saying, that the promises of God, the great and precious promises of God, enable us to share his divine nature, which is all that the Father has, and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Human desire is that sin, the world has been corrupt by sin, and we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live under the corruption of sin anymore. Amen? You know, Kenneth Copeland has a saying. I read this. Actually, Jerry Savelle was quoting it in one of his books. But he says, when you get to the place where you believe the word of God, just like you believe the word of your doctor, your lawyer, or your best friend, your life will never be the same. Man, that kind of struck me when I read that. Because, you know, we can read these scriptures and we let them get down. But Sometimes we still talk ourselves out of it, don't we? We're here in church and it sounds good and our faith is built up, but then we're out in the real world, we're at our job, we're with relatives that in the past we maybe haven't got along with too well, whatever is happening, and suddenly the things that we've been hearing, the things that we've been talking about, the things that we believe in, kind of fall off to the side and we start talking differently or believing differently, right? But when we truly believe the Word of God, like most of you guys believe your doctor, right? When your doctor tells you something, now, well, but he's telling us what he sees, and it's most likely physical truth, but we know a higher truth, right? So we don't agree with the doctor. We declare God's word over that situation. But doctors are generally trustworthy people. Lawyers, I would say, as well, are. And hopefully your best friend is trustworthy, right? Hopefully you believe the word of your best friend. If you don't, get a new best friend. But, that's the place that I want to get to in my life. So I'm declaring the Word of God as final authority in my life, right? So when I'm faced with a situation, I go to the Word. And I find out, what does the Word of God say about this situation? And I listen to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you telling me about the situation? What is God the Father? What is the heart of the Father toward me in this area, in this situation, in this place in my life? Here's another declaration, and I'm not sure who it originated with. Joel Osteen, who we heard about today, has a variation of this, and even Doug has a variation on this when he starts, does one of his Bible study sessions. But here, this declaration is so powerful. I am what the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do, and I can be what the Bible says I can be. I wanted to get the right wording on that, and so I typed it in, and I found one of those guys that's confused. It's not hard to find a confused individual when you're on the internet. And someone had put that phrase there, and someone underneath that said, man, that's such a narcissistic saying. It's just all about you. Well, read the Word of God, you know. The Bible, it can't be understood. Man, if you're not looking at it through the unction of the Holy Spirit and the lens of the Holy Spirit revealing to you, it doesn't make sense. You'll be confused. But when the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, it's not about us. God wants us healthy and well because we are His agents on earth to do His work, right? If we're broke and depressed and divorced and out of work, are we a testament to God's goodness and His grace in this life? Are we effective agents of His power? Not at all, right? And so we don't believe that it's self-exalting or self-serving at all. We believe this is God's will for us because when we're walking in those things, that's when His will on earth is accomplished. Amen? 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. You know, if you've been coming to this church for any significant period of time, you know, especially in the last couple of years, you've learned that the glory of God is His manifest power, His manifest goodness, and His manifest presence in our lives. When you read the glory of God in Scripture, you think it's the power, goodness, and presence of God. So let's look at this verse again. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests that through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the glory of God. When God leads us in triumph, that's His power, right? The sweet aroma, that's His goodness. And the knowledge of Him in every place is His presence. That scripture is talking about the glory of God. And that's what we're declaring at Solid Rock for each and every one of us, right? I know you guys are declaring over yourselves. We're declaring over ourselves. Pastor Ray and Linda are declaring it. And together, we're believing for the glory of God to be manifested in our church. For God's power, His goodness, and His presence. Not to be just something we talk about, but manifest. That means made real, revealed, and known and active in our lives. Amen? Let's stand up. I'm done. I have a declaration that was in that newsletter that I was talking about, that Copeland newsletter that just came in the email a couple days ago. And I want to have Candace put it up on the screen. Let's read this together, and then we'll end in prayer. But it's just if you've been stirred today, if the things that we've talked about have stirred something in you to respond, here's how we can do it. We can just say this declaration together, and thank God, He always causes me to triumph because he shows me things to come. He leads me into all truth. He takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to me. All that the Father has belongs to Jesus, and all that the Father has belongs to me. Amen. I want to leave you with one last verse. This is Romans 15:13. Put that up, Candace, if you could. You know, the things that we talked about hopefully build your faith. When you're in faith, you're excited, right? And so that's my goal today in sharing these things. And my prayer is that as we've been talking about these things, as we've been talking about all that's in Jesus being made available to us through the Spirit of truth, through the Holy Spirit, I hope that builds hope in your life. Hope that makes you excited, gets you pumped up. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When you're believing, when you're standing in faith, there's joy and peace in that, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for the true riches of your word, Lord, that, Lord, there's so many, as Peter says, great and precious promises in your word, Lord. And so today, Lord, we declare, Lord, that we are, Lord, that we do walk in triumph, Heavenly Father, that you lead us into all truth, that you take what belongs to Jesus and you reveal it to us through the Spirit of truth, through the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that all that the Father has belongs to us, Lord. And whatever we need for any situation, Lord, it's in the Father. The Father has it for us, Lord. So whatever we're believing for right now, Lord, we lift it up to you, Lord. We give it to you. We say, thank you, Jesus, for providing it for me. Thank you, Jesus, for the solution, the answer to everything that I'm facing, the answer to anything I'm facing. I thank you, Lord, that it's found in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you're here and this has been something new that we've talked about, this life with Jesus, this abundant life with Jesus, and it's something that you want to experience, you want to have that personal relationship with Jesus, you want to have that assurance that you have Jesus in the inside of you and the Holy Spirit in the inside of you, come talk to myself. There'll be someone else up here as well too that can just pray with you, and we'll start that new journey with you. We'll start that journey in your life together with you. We'll pray and walk with you if you feel led to make that decision. If there's anything else in your life that you'd like prayer for, you know, we do that after our Sundays here, right? Come up front, have someone lay hands with you and just strengthen you and encourage you. That's what going to church is about, right? Is being encouraged and being built up. That's why we get together, and that's why we do this. So if you need prayer, just come up, and there'll be someone that's ready and excited to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you that for every person that you led here today, Lord, and for the word that we heard, Lord, for the songs that we sang that declare your faithfulness, Lord, and declare the freedom that we have in Christ, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given us here today, Lord, the deposit of your word. We declare that nothing is stolen, that any attempt of the enemy to steal the word fails right now. We declare it to be, but we declare that it bears much fruit in our lives, Lord, that because we have the Holy Spirit, he will bring remembrance to everything that we've talked about during the week and continue to bring it to our minds so that our faith is rebuilt, Lord. Help us abide in you, Lord. Our desire is to abide in you, Heavenly Father, to spend time with you today, this week, Lord, and in our daily lives, Lord. Time in the Word, time in prayer, time fellowship with the Holy Spirit, speaking to you, and listening to you and what you have to say to us. So for everyone here, Lord, I declare blessing on them this week, Lord, as they go, as we spend time together after our service, whatever we have on the schedule this week, whether it's running kids to camp, whether it's serving at Madge Lake, whether it's being at work, at home, wherever we go, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are ambassadors of your goodness, your grace, and your favor in our lives. We declare that we walk in favor, we walk in your goodness, we walk in your blessing, as we abide with you, Lord, this week. In your name, amen.